98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
Oh, how about that? Flash the three, as you're only a couple weeks away from Arizona State football once again. Flash the pitchfork.
Oh, here we go, Herm Edwards. Flash the three on a Cowbell Friday, football Friday. You are on the train. I'm on the train as well. Cannot wait to watch Jaden Daniels play either.
ASU beats USC in week one. If they do, there's a chance Maloney's going to be staring down ASU Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game.
Oh, here we go now. Oh, I love the smell of relevance in the morning.
That's pretty good. All right, let's get to it. Time for your Rush Hour Reboot on a Friday that's all about football.
We like playing with bright lights. All right, let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games. Yes, all right, sure, that night game, I can tell we like this moment. Let's play ourselves into more of these games, all right?
Cliff Kingsbury asked, and the NFL delivered.
Oh.
The NFL announced yesterday they moved the Seahawks-Cardinals matchup into Sunday Night Football due to COVID concerns coming out of the Raiders organization. You guys got Steve Keim's reaction just moments ago.
I think any time that you play on national TV under the bright lights, it gets the juices flowing, and we have a lot of talented players that enjoy that atmosphere. You know, guys like Kyler and DeAndre and Pat and Larry, those guys have always excelled on prime time, and really excited to have that opportunity this week.
It's just so true right there. Name recognition is so big, right? Storylines, I think. Name recognition, winning records, 5-0, 4-2. And then, of course, the competing comps, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. That is a huge pull right there for any producer of Sunday Night Football.
I think the focus on the names that he gave is right on Pat P. Pat P can reestablish himself as one of the great corners in the game because they've got two weapons. Don't dismiss Tyler Lockett. They've
right.
got two weapons that can embarrass you if you're not mentally ready to play. Or he can be a light that says, hey, everybody saw Buddha last week. Watch me this week.
ESPN's Bart Scott gave his prediction for Sunday Night Football this morning.
Key, the greatest form of imitation's greatest form of flattery. You look at Mini-Me, you look at Kyler Murray. I think he has the opportunity in his league because of the success of Russell Wilson, like you said, the leading MVP getter. But, you know, this Legion of Boom is without a boom anymore. It's just a Legion. And, you know, I think that, you know, Kyler Murray will feast. And I think DeAndre Hopkins will be the difference maker, man. I believe that the Cardinals are going to get the W.
Do you agree? Do you think DeAndre Hopkins will be the difference maker, or do you have a different difference maker?
No, man. Honestly, I do believe it right here. This is what the big lights are all about, and this is what big names are all about, and this is what great talents are all about. As Gene Stallings always said, your big-time players play in big-time games and make big-time plays. And I can tell you right now, I fully expect that to be the case with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
I'll give you a shocking name for this one. I think this is the Dan Arnold game. And I am in no way talking about 12 catches for 3 touchdowns and 100 yards or something. But I mean 5 or 6 catches in which 4 of them are third down conversions that are really key drive keepers instead of drive killers. Because I think their defense is going to do 2 things. Do whatever it takes to stop D-Hop and do whatever it takes to keep Kyler in the pocket. And the one thing you can't do is protect the seams if you're doing those 2 things.
Interesting.
You guys also asked Steve Keim if he's concerned about Kyler Murray's accuracy after some pretty inaccurate throws that he made on Monday Night Football.
I watched every throw that he made in college. I've watched every throw in practice and in the NFL that he's been an Arizona Cardinal. I don't think it was his best game last week, and there were some mechanical flaws, but I have zero concerns with his accuracy.
I love that answer.
Yeah, that was a great answer, no doubt. I'm looking at this game right now. I hate to do this. I reject myself in front of king and country. I projectile vomit, as a matter of fact, all over myself. Yet at the same time, I will tell you, this game is going to come down to the quarterback that plays better. Can I tell you that right now? Can you feel that? The quarterback that plays better in this game, I think you'll win this game because of it. Russell Wilson v. Kyler Murray. I don't know if there's any other way to get around it.
It's the same thing. I'm saying the exact same thing when I say I think the winner is the team that has the whose defense plays better, which how does that relate? It's
right.
Okay, which quarterback plays better? I think the Cardinals' defense is much better than Seattle, but I think Russell Wilson is much more adept at handling it than Kyler Murray is. So therefore, it really is saying the same thing, but who's going to bring it defensively? Coming up next, Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, with interesting comments on his former first-round pick and his newest one. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We like playing with bright lights. Let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Seahawks Cardinals on Sunday night on NBC.
It'll be a great game, great matchup. It'll be a physical game.
Are you ready for the football? Let's go!
NFC West battle, and we're looking forward to it. I know they are, too.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks.
Might not know about Sunday night football. Really, the number one draft pick among sideline reporters is Michelle Tafoya. She knows the game, really good at her job. She will box out Paul for stories.
I see.
Now that they're both on the front row and you guys are not on the actual sideline.
I do believe Michelle Tafoya went to Cal. Can we fact check that over there, Mitchapalooza?
Wow.
I do believe, yeah.
Are you serious? I thought, yeah. I just assumed she went to Minnesota because she has such strong ties there.
So if there's if I ever am allowed a chance to get within 40 feet of her, I might introduce myself and maybe there's a Cal connection there. But usually I'm not allowed to associate with the network sideline reporters.
Just like you guys. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this. Paul's right.
There you go. Man. How about that?
Wow, okay.
I have no idea. Go.
But
she's got an
she
entourage?
Also,
is that what you're saying?
She also went to USC.
Oh, no. No, that can't. No.
Okay,
okay
go,
well,
Paul.
She's out. No, she's out. That's it. She's out. I'm sorry.
That's classic right there.
Yeah, we can't have that. That's a non-starter.
It is Sunday night football.
Third rail.
Time that you play on national TV under the bright lights at it gets the juices flowing, and we have a lot of talented players that enjoy that atmosphere. You know, guys like Kyler and DeAndre and Pat and Larry, those guys have always excelled on prime time, and really excited to have that opportunity this week.
And you know what? He's absolutely right. Sunday night football guarantees there will be no lack of juice going against Coach Double Rainbow and his culture and how the Seahawks love to come down to the desert like they do all the road venues in the NFC West and put a hurtin' and a beatdown on their division opponents. So now you're on Sunday Night Football. I feel a lot better that they're going to have the requisite energy and intensity and juice needed to go against a Seattle team that, once again, the last time they played on Sunday Night Football, hello, was the 6-6 Slugfest 2016, the most physical regular season game I've ever witnessed. That game
I'm
in 2016.
Right there, Paulie, I am right there with you on that game. That was brutal.
Brutal.
That was some old school, old world football right there being played. No doubt.
Paul, since you're on the sidelines, I'm going to give you a theory that Wolf will reject openly, but you're actually there feeling the energy of the moment. I have a theory. And that theory is Arizona Cardinals come out of the tunnel. Fires going on. You got the screams of the crowd. The PA guy's going nuts. You announce the crowd.
Yeah, they still do the intros.
And here come the Cardinals. And as they come out, they look out and they see a 50-50 split of green and red. And I think every year at State Farm Stadium, it is a punch in the gut to them because we're dealing with a team that for years has played on emotion. That it's not about just win, baby. It's never been about that. For a lot of these guys, it's about, are you on prime time? It's about the hype. It's about, oh, we're just playing the, who are we playing today? Oh, we're just playing Carolina. You're not as focused. You're not as motivated. There's all these energy issues. I think they get punched in the gut when they see a 50-50 split and they come out flat. And now you're chasing your tail against an organization That's fantastic.
You're talking in the past when the building was packed.
That should be erased in this game.
Yeah.
You know, is there any chance the Cardinals play better at home against Seattle than they ever than they have in years?
That's very plausible because you're right. There's going to be 1,200 or so fans, not enough to make a real palpable difference in terms of energy of the teams. It's not going to be anything that will amount to something you can feed off of. Certainly not like when the Cardinals go to Seattle and it's them against the world. And that is an absolute catalyst. I'm actually concerned about the Cardinals going to Seattle without the 12s to feed off.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
wow.
amazing. You know
what? Interesting.
Honestly, I can tell you, I have personal experience with this, Macedonians. Personal experience. Whenever we played the Dallas Cowboys, guess what? Cowboy fans showed up big time, en masse. Whenever we played the Pittsburgh Steelers, they showed up en masse.
Oh, you're talking at Sun Devil Stadium as a Cardinal?
Yes.
Okay.
When I was playing. Whenever we played the Denver Broncos. Ah, oh, the Broncos. Here they came. The Bronco fans. I have...
You know it shouldn't affect you, but it does.
No, it should not affect you, Douglas. Honestly. Go out there and ball. This is the thing. I don't care. I don't care where I'm playing you. I don't care if it's in an alley. I don't care if it's in your stadium. I don't care where it is. I'm a professional athlete. I realize, okay, it's great. Give me the baton and I'll lead it. And all of a sudden, you've got the fans and they're going nuts and everyone's all... Honestly, do you really need that for you to go do your job?
And would you agree you had teammates that did?
Yes. Yes.
And would you agree those people still exist?
But again, yes. But they were the minority, not the majority. Hmm. They were the minority. I hope it isn't, as you say, oh, we're going to run out there. And it's just, oh, boy, look at all the Seahawks. Well, don't they know that by now? What, are they still being surprised by the fact that that's the case? Hopefully you just go out there and basically just forget about all that junk and you just ball, because there are the lines and the lines remain and they're the same.
Well, the other element is that you have the global TV audience. So, you know what? If you go out there and underwhelm, there's the threat of being embarrassed on big time, prime time, the big stage. So that's another side effect of this that I think ensures maximum effort and intensity.
Yep.
Because just like Monday Night Football, where everybody in that locker room after the game, including Hassan Reddick last night in the Big Red Rage, loved the energy that the team played with, and you see what they're capable of when they bring it.
Just don't tell me it's the thing that will make you play.
Yeah, it shouldn't
just
matter.
Just don't tell me that.
I think for some it does.
Because if it does, you're soft. There's no other way to say you're soft.
One of the things that was interesting listening to Steve Keim today, if you missed it, you can simply subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it'll always be right there on your phone. Kind of a breakdown of two of his former first-round picks, one recently, one a little while ago. You asked about Isaiah Simmons.
I thought he got some quality snaps. Certainly played a little bit more. There were some times where I felt like he was violent with his hands at the point of attack, which was encouraging. And as we've talked about many times on this show, he's continuing to grow. The more reps, the better it's going to be for him. And certainly like seeing him out there. I mean, he's a long guy that can really run. You saw him covering the seam route and hit him in the back. And that being said, it was nice to see him running stride for stride with the tight end, which was certainly why we drafted him.
And we asked about a former first-round pick in Hassan Reddick. And, of course, I don't think any general manager in the world would have picked up his fifth-year option. So it's the right decision by the Cardinals, considering the way he had been playing. But doesn't that mean it's a surprise how well he's playing this year?
You know, we took him in the first round years ago, and we knew that he had the skill set to play at this level, the talent, the athleticism, the speed. And, you know, this year he's doing a nice job of putting all those things together. He's rushing the passer, which he did in college. And I think that he's playing hard and he's working his tail off. So really, really proud of Hassan and excited for him.
Interesting to think, Paul, who's the starting linebackers next year? Although,
yeah.
It's a little early for us, but Keim's thinking about it.
Well, and Chandler Jones will be going into his contract here in 2021. What's interesting is that you still don't really know what you have in Hassan Reddick, a guy you drafted in the first round, 13th overall, in his fourth year. But because he's getting a legit shot now as a regular at outside linebacker, and because he, for the first time is in the same defensive scheme 2 years in a row. Remember, he had three different defensive coordinators, three different defensive schemes his first 3 years in the league. Now, finally, you're getting a look at Hassan Reddick and what he can do on the edge. Because remember what else he told us last night, Wolf, is that he's playing at 245.
Yeah.
Not 235.
Yeah.
Not 225 as a rookie. He's playing at 245. Now, all of a sudden, he's more equipped to play the edge.
Hassan Reddick is one of my favorite guys on the team, based on what he's because of the human being that he is. It's incredible. What a great guy he is, and I root for this guy. I told him last night, based on audience, he's got a comp. There is a comp in the
NFL. Don't say it.
I'm going to say it.
No.
It's James Harrison.
Oh, come on.
James Harrison at 6 feet, 242 pounds. I told him last night. I told him, did I not, Paulie? I said, Hassan, if I were you, I would take every game that James Harrison played in, and I'd put it together on one reel, and I'd watch it the entire offseason.
And what did I say?
The entire offseason.
I said every play except one, the 100-yard interception return before halftime of Super Bowl 43.
That's right. Don't watch that one right
Delete
there.
Delete that play.
But you know what? Honestly,
one of the greatest plays of all
James
time.
Harrison.
Oh, stop it, Doug.
Hassan Reddick has got a comp. Get stronger. Get in the weight room. James Harrison.
Ain't nobody want to hear about James Harrison in the Red Sea.
Just telling you right now, he's faster than James Harrison. That's the one difference.
How does the Seattle side react to being on Sunday Night Football? Ron Wolfley said, Maloney, get Dave Wyman.
Oh.
She did. He's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Stanford!
We like playing with bright lights. Let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games. Yeah.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Seahawks Cardinals on Sunday night on NBC.
It'll be a great game, great matchup. It'll be a physical game.
Are you ready for the football?
NFC West battle, and we're looking forward to it. I know they are, too.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks. Now.
You heard that it's been moved to Sunday night. And right now on the Coulter Automotive Group's Forge line is Dave Wyman. He is the color analyst for the Seattle Seahawks. And in some people's opinion, the best color analyst in the NFC West. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's good to hear you guys' voices. I appreciate it. It's good, you know, coming up against the Cardinals. This is year 16 or 17 for me doing pre and post and getting reconnected with Wolfley. And, no, he's my hero, man. I absolutely look up to Wolf.
Oh, knock it off, Dave, man. Thank you so much, buddy, for actually coming on.
No. He said he'd come on my show later, so, you know, just warming him up a little bit.
Well, I do disagree when you say you look up to him because, remember, you are, I believe, were draft pick number 45, and he wasn't until 104. So he's actually looking up at you, even though it was 2 years later.
Yeah, I'll tell you, those draft choices don't mean much because the year I got drafted, there's a guy named Hardy Nickerson out of Cal that got drafted in the fifth round, and he had like a pro, you know,
he
all
was pretty
pro,
good, wasn't it?
Possibly Hall of Fame type of career. So, yeah, he's got a much bigger chip on his shoulder. That's
okay.
For sure.
My brother, talk to us about the 5-0 Seattle Seahawks. What are they doing well? Where do they need to improve?
Well, I'll tell you what they're doing well on offense is just Russell is, first of all, they're getting a good amount of time. I mean, he's been sacked. Russell Wilson's on a pace to be sacked the same number of times as last year, which, you know, he's been like a top 10 quarterback as far as sacked for, you know, eight of his, I think, you know, seven of his 9 years or something, this being his ninth year. But he's getting enough time to throw deep. He and Deshaun Watson share the lead as far as yards per attempt. So he's able to go deep. So he's got a couple of really good threats, and he's just been incredibly accurate. I think they can run the ball. They've ran it, you know, pretty well in spots, but for the most part, they're just putting up huge amounts of points. But on defense, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is such a different team because, right. I mean, they're just bleeding yardage. I mean, the first three games, I think they gave up almost 1,500 yards. And, you know, but they're making key plays at key times is one thing, and I'm not sure if that's a talent or not. If it can be repeated, and then they're taking the ball away. So, I mean, they're just coming up with these stops, like, you know, the fourth down stop against Minnesota that allowed that 94-yard drive that Russell had, I just thought, there's no way. There's no way they stop him here. They hadn't stopped the run all night. Mm-hmm. And then same thing with Cam Newton down on the goal line. You know, I mean, that big dude, that they had run that formation where it's like a wildcat with him, and they've got fullbacks and extra tackles and everything. There's no way they stop him, and they did. So they just have – that's how they've been coming up with it on defense. But the offense is as good as can be, and Russ is as advertised as far as, you know, being one of the best passers in the league. But the defense is really hard to explain.
He's the co-host of Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. He's a Seahawks radio analyst, so he's basically Ron Wolfley without having people coming up to him and saying, I hate your voice. That's Dave Wyman, who's joining Doug and Wolf this morning.
So true, Dave.
Dave, there's an interesting little sidebar into this game, and that is Seahawks on the clock in 2017. They don't take Buddha. Cardinals do. Cardinals on the clock in 2019. They don't take DK Metcalf, and two picks later, Seattle does. Change history. Who would affect change more, Buddha as a Seahawk or DK as a Cardinal?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I think the fact that they ended up getting Jamal Adams mm-hmm. is, you know, a pretty big deal, and they probably wouldn't have if they had Buddha Baker. You know, it's funny, the safeties here make a huge difference, but they just haven't played together enough. But, you know, I think that's where the transition from the Legion of Boom to what we have now is the fact that the safeties were so good, Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, and mm-hmm. they made a huge difference. And Buddha is he looks like Jamal Adams out there running around. But it was pretty amazing what we saw out of Jamal Adams real quick. I'll get to DK, but you know, watching him at practice, because I got a chance to go get tested every day and go down and watch practice from, you know, 40 yards away. And he was making every play at camp. And I'm like, hey, I don't think he can do that in the game. And then we play Atlanta the first game, and he has like 13 tackles, tackle for loss, a sack, knocked a pass down. I mean, it was just all over. So it allowed them the chance to get Adams. But I'll tell you what, everybody who didn't pick DK Metcalf missed out on just an unbelievable kid. And you'll appreciate this, Wolf. He is the most humble, professional. Last year, he's the best rookie I think I've ever seen. He's got a family, you know, as far as his family name, history in the NFL, but just the nicest young man, dedicated, unselfish, hardworking, conscientious, just fantastic.
So it's interesting because I'm watching tape of the Seattle Seahawks, and I don't see the repeated three coverages that Pete Carroll has always played. Man free, cover three, cover six, right? Or even robber. I don't see it as often as I used to. What's going on with this defense?
Yeah, well, being an ex-linebacker, I get – you know, and I'm always like you. I'm like, look, I'm not in the meetings. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if, you know, this, that. They had a couple of flashes of, and if you saw the Minnesota interception by KJ Wright, and that's been my, I don't know how you are, you know, Wolf, with, you know, looking at fullbacks or, you know, on the offensive side. I'm pretty tough on linebackers. And so, to me, the problem is, you know, you mentioned those zone coverages, you know, cover three, you know, where your linebackers, they need to, number one, not get fooled. And number two, they need to get depth. And they need to get underneath some of those medium routes because they weren't giving up these big, you know, over the top. A few of them, they got burned on. For the most part, it's middle of the field stuff where,
come on,
linebackers, get a drop, man. Get 12 to 15. Get underneath these guys. And so if you can envision the picture or the play where KJ Wright gets that beautiful one-handed interception, he's buzzing out to the outside receiver in a zone drop out to the flat. He's getting like 12 yards deep, and they haven't been doing that kind of thing. So that's a big part of it, and maybe it's too specific, but I think that's a big part of what's going on in this defense, that they're not getting under those routes. And then they're just playing kind of a softer zone behind it until they all can get on the same page and start really playing together. I'll tell you, one guy to watch is Quentin Dunbar. number 22. I mean, he's had some knee injuries, but he's really good in the run. He's a ridiculously good instinctive corner in zone. And once him and Quandre Diggs and Jamal Adams and Shaquille Griffin start playing together as a defensive backfield, I think that they're going to start to improve. And you can see something happen. Maybe I think I was putting this out there the other day that Kansas City, who won the Super Bowl last year, they were terrible the first 10 weeks defensively. The last five, they gave up like 10 points a game. They have that kind of talent, the same talent as Kansas City has on defense right now, if not more. They just need to put it together.
Is Jamal Adams going to play?
I don't think so. You know, and I don't know how it's been down there. With, I was listening to Kime and, you know, and Kingsbury and everything. And I think they're erring on the side of caution in this landscape with the COVID-19, just not all of the OTAs and everything. They're just, it just seems like they're like, it looks like he can play, but we're going to, you know, let him go one more week. So I don't think he's going to play, but we'll see. I mean, it was a groin thing. So, but that guy's got a ton of energy.
Those go.
Week 11 of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to come on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? Your choice. We're not going to ask you if you can. Just you choose Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday going into Thursday Night Football. All right, Dave?
Yeah, okay, definitely. I'll definitely come on your guys' show. I love talking to you. And love hearing Wolf voice. If you know, I try to like bellow and say things and lower my voice. But it's no good, man. I got this terrible
All right.
voice. It's horrible for radio. And
yeah, that's enough out of you, Wyman. Okay.
Thank you, Dave. Good
I'll
to talk to
you
I'm
later, David.
I'm just glad he's not hitting me in the head anymore.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. Listen, right. I'll talk to you this afternoon, man.
There's, thanks, guys. Okay,
absolutely.
Brother,
there's Dave Wyman joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit coulternissan.com, and you can hear Dave. God forbid you ever have to drive around Seattle, but you can hear him on 710 AM in Seattle with Bob, Dave, and more. Coming up in about 15 minutes, the legend Al Michaels will join Doug and Wolf. What we need to address is Kyler Murray's inaccuracy and the level of concern for Steve Keim. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We like playing with bright lights. Let's play ourselves into a lot more of these games.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Seahawks Cardinals on Sunday night on NBC.
It'll be a great game, great matchup. It'll be a physical game.
Are you ready for the football?
NFC West battle, and we're looking forward to it. I know they are, too.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks. Now.
Is there any chance we can get Ty Domi on soon? I ask that because coming up in 10 minutes, I geek out for Al Michaels. Al Michaels geeks out to talk to you.
No.
Which happens every time we have Al Michaels on.
Which isn't true.
And we need to get you in that mode, so we'll bring in Ty Domi. That's the only option.
You know, Ty Domi, I did geek out. There's no doubt. It's happened rarely, I would say, on this broadcast over the last 14 years, but it did. It geeked me out a little bit right there. Ty Domi.
What are you guys going to do about it?
See, that's it right there. It's the fight thing. It's the brawl thing.
It is. Coming up, by the way, Monday. This is pretty exciting. Ty don't know. Text GATE to 620-620.
He totally said that based on what he's.
You can listen for your name today at 5 o'clock, or we can just, you know, railroad Burns and Gambo and ignore that they're doing it today. We're going to take over. So starting on Monday, if you're a regular listener to Doug and Wolf, you've got a chance to win a brand-new barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set.
Yeah.
And you'll also be invited to an exclusive virtual tailgate featuring Arizona Sports hosts, and a chance to win $250, a prize pack, a $250 prize pack from Four Peaks. Again, if you want in on it, text GATE to 620-620 and be listening to us coming up Monday at 7 in the 7:30 beautiful part of the program. The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate is presented by Four Peaks. Steve Keim, are you worried?
I watched every throw that he made in college. I've watched every throw in practice and in the NFL that he's been an Arizona Cardinal. I don't think it was his best game last week, and there were some mechanical flaws, but I have zero concerns with his accuracy. I think, if anything, that can be a strength. And, you know, it's one of those things that at times, as the casual fan, or even myself. You know, you don't know that a receiver ran the wrong route or didn't have enough depth. That happens quite a bit, and that goes unnoticed. And that's the quarterback position. Those guys get all the credit, and sometimes they get most of the blame. So it comes with the territory, and I know Kyler will bounce back this week, and I feel like he's ready to go.
Yeah, you know what? I totally agree with what he's saying right there. I do it all the time with Dave Pasch, as a matter of fact. I just tell David, I don't know. I wasn't in the huddle. I don't know exactly if, in fact, it was the wide receiver who ran the wrong route. I don't know it, so I'm not going to say it.
But I will say there's not a lot of route trees that would say Larry Fitzgerald ran the wrong route in the end zone.
And that is the one right there. That is the one throw. I would not be the least concerned at all if, in fact, it wasn't for that gross overthrow of Larry Fitzgerald, wide open in the end zone. Kyler is so accurate that, yes, he's had his inaccuracies so far in the first five games before that sixth game. The first five games, he had some inaccuracies, but I was really not concerned at all about that. Until I saw him airmail Larry.
That one, and then I know a lot of you were a little bent about the deep ball to Andy Isabella. And to me, I'm kind of on Andy Isabella on that. There's running your route correctly, and then there's the quarterback throwing you open. You have inside leverage on that corner. The safety looked lost. Throw it over here, and Andy, you're fast. Go get it. And it just seemed like Andy, it was like, wait, I'm supposed to just do this. And no, Andy, it's supposed to breathe a little bit. The quarterback reads this. You've got to just go get the ball. And I didn't see Andy dominate that route. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying you're wrong on that, Douglas. I'm saying this right here. Andy Isabella, I am greatly encouraged about Andy Isabella and where he's going, because I'm seeing him catch the ball with his hands all over the place. The catch radius isn't huge, but his hands, he's using his hands to catch the ball. And I didn't think he was capable of doing it. I didn't. I thought he had to cradle everything. I thought he had. No, he's more than capable. He has proven that right now. I think he needs more opportunities. The problem is this: DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk. That's the problem. That's the reason why Andy Isabella is still getting a handful of reps every game. This guy needs playing time to continue to grow. And he's shown me right now that he can catch the ball. I'm encouraged. He just needs an opportunity to go out there and do more.
Never forget when you're talking about Andy Isabella. It's not his fault he was drafted ahead of DK Metcalf.
Of course not.
Just judge Andy Isabella on his play. I think it's wrong to ever label a guy in game 20, 21, 22 of his life a bust. Give him some time. But at the same time, I admit, I don't think he is going to develop. I think Andy Isabella is going to be very similar to, remember, JJ from UAB. I think he's going to be a fast receiver that every now and then comes through, but nothing you're really going to jump on the opportunity to re-sign, and you'll always be looking to I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I can tell you right now, I just think you're wrong on that. I think Andy Isabella, and we'll see. Yeah. It takes time. We'll see. He'll develop. The biggest concern, catching the ball, because there's no way you're going to develop if you can't catch the ball, and he can catch the ball.
Coming up next, the legend Al Michaels, the voice of Sunday Night Football, and now he's watching Cardinals. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.